As Jesus, in his ministry, he received a lot of questions. A lot of people came up to him with different things that they were asking. Sometimes it was to entrap Jesus. Sometimes these questions were meant to put him between a rock and a hard place where he really didn't have a good answer in the midst of these questions. And those people were trying to put him in positions where he would reveal some sort of flaw or that he would be found out to be false. And he answered those very well, ended up always coming out on top. But then there are other questions that were questions that I believe were sincere, from the heart questions from people who really believed that they were talking to the Son of God. And they had these questions that they asked him that they really wanted a true answer to. And among all these questions, there was a question that was asked in Scripture. And from what I know of Jesus, I believe this may have been his favorite question that he was asked because of the answer that he got to give. And the question that was asked of him was, what commandment is the greatest commandment? And a lot of us are familiar with Jesus' answer, and it's found in a few different gospels, but the one I've got listed there in your bulletin is the Gospel of Mark. Jesus replies, he said, well, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And there's another one, there's a second one, it's a lot like it, and it is to love your neighbor as yourself. And if you do those two commandments, then you'll find yourself doing all of the other commandments that he asked of us. And as Jesus answers those questions and all these different questions, when he answers that one question, we get a chance to see this idea of love. It makes me ask the question, what is love? And we've got all sorts of different things, different answers, very general things like God is love, okay? Well, understanding God is a very complex thing, so that does that mean that love is equally as complex? We've got scriptures like 1 Corinthians 13 that you see a lot of weddings and a lot of things, maybe little love poems that Bible college students might send to each other, or maybe you were a part of that as well. And that 1 Corinthians 13, where it talks about how love is patient, love is kind, and it tells us some things it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. And this is what love is. And after that, Paul gets down to the end of that chapter and comes to the conclusion that there are three big daddies in the faith, and that is hope, faith, and love. And of those three, the greatest of those is love. And so we kind of understand a little bit about what is love, but it's not good enough for me sometimes, because understanding what love is doesn't really give me the action sometimes. So this morning I want us to ask ourselves, what does love do? And if that's what love is, then what does love do? And I think there's an endless list of things that we could come up with that love does, but we're gonna get a preacher three this morning, okay? And that is some three very basic things that love does. Love creates. Love creates. It just does. When you love somebody, you're creating. You're creating value in them, and sometimes you even create things for them. And God is the ultimate example of what love is, and that is what love is. God is love. What does love do? Well, love creates, and we get a chance to see this from the very beginning. I've always asked that question. I believe that this is a common question among mankind. And that question is, why was I made? What was I made for? Now, I know when we look into the New Testament and we get a chance to see the parts of the body of Christ, we're going to be taking a look at that next week. And I know that I'm made for a specific part of the kingdom. I understand that. And I understand that from the beginning of the creation of the world, that my purpose as a human is to worship God. I'm made to worship God. I understand those things. But even those answers just really haven't been good enough for me, because that doesn't get into the psychology of God. What were you thinking, God, when you made me, when you made humans? And of all the answers I've been given, the best one I've received so far in my life is just a very simple answer, and that is that God is love. Love creates. It's just what love does. Love creates. And I thought, man, that settles it with me. It's just God's nature. He creates. God creates. And love creates. We get a chance to see God and the Holy Spirit as he hovered over the waters at the very beginning. We are told many times in the New Testament how Jesus Christ himself had a part in the creation. We see the Trinity involved in that. So love creates. Love also sustains. You see that big list in the First Corinthians 13 of what love is. And all of those things, they help to sustain. They help to keep things going. They help to keep wheels turning. Love sustains, and we see that as the Father, as the Son, and we're going to look at that in 2 weeks, at the work of the Holy Spirit in sustaining and what he does there. So love sustains, but in addition to those three, love repairs. It just does. Love repairs. Parents, children, when they're hurt, you love them. You want to repair them. You want to fix them. You want to fix whatever's wrong. You want to fix people that love each other. They want to do things to help each other, to fix each other. And so love repairs. And we get a chance to also see this in the nature of God as the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In 1 Peter chapter 1, as he opens his letter, he brings in this idea, this Trinity together, that all three have a part in repairing. Now, it's not there. The word repair isn't even in that piece of scripture. But let me share this with you a little bit, because as we started, we were all alienated enemies of God. Every one of us started there. There is a point where you realize that you needed to give up yourself, give up your ways, give yourself to God, and then you became a child of God. That's good news. But every one of us before that day, we were enemies of God. Even while we were enemies, God chose us. In God's choosing of us, it was an understanding that he was going to repair us. And so when we see passages in Scripture where it talks about how God has chosen us, it involves this idea of that love repairs. God chose us. Jesus Christ is very active in that repairing process. And the idea that he came so that we could obey him and be connected with his blood, and his blood covers us, and that is a repairing piece of us. It covers our sin. It covers things in us that we don't even allow to be repaired. As God works with us, we're told that those of you who are baptized into Christ, you are clothed with Christ. And so Jesus Christ is also actively involved in repairing us. The Holy Spirit is also very, very active in this. And I don't believe that any of us, I don't believe that many of us, that would be an uncalculated statement to make. But I don't believe that most of us really realize the depth of the Holy Spirit's work. There's a big church word there, and it is that the Holy Spirit, he sanctifies us. It is the sanctifying work of the Spirit. And a lot of us understand the Father's role in this, in repairing us, and how we see that love being used on us. And a lot of us, boy, we understand the cross. We understand the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We understand the whole piece that Jesus Christ has in this whole idea of repairing us. But who's that other guy? Oh, the Holy Spirit. And what does he do again? I don't know if we really connect with that. We talked about that last week. If you're just now joining us, we're in a second message on a series on the Holy Spirit. And last week, we took a look at an illustration of a carousel. It's a fictional story. You'll have to go back online and listen to it if you missed last week. But the story was about a carousel, and this majestic carousel had all these fantastic pieces to it. And the guy that got it and put it together and realized it didn't work found out that it didn't work because he didn't have it plugged in. And a lot of times that's what happens to our life as a Christians. We do all this work. We're obeying God's word, and we're listening to the Father, and we're obeying the Son, and we've connected with the blood, and still we don't see anything working. And it's because we're not plugged in. I would say I believe, but instead I will say through observation, It is measurable that we actively limit and even resist the Holy Spirit. I can say that because the working of the Holy Spirit, the activity of the Holy Spirit, is unmistakable. It's not something that you sit there and think about and say, well, let me think here. Is the Holy Spirit? No. Is the Holy Spirit active before that sentence is out of someone's mouth? It is a yes if he is. There's no doubt about it, no question about it. Last week, the idea was to be able to understand that. I just have to come right out and say it. Okay, there's a day when you have to look in the mirror and realize that you're fat before you'll do anything about it. That's not a fun day. And I share that because a lot of us we've had that day. We might have had multiple days. That's not a fun day, but it's a day that has to happen in order for you to realize that things have to change. Things have to be different. Sometimes it takes blood results or a doctor's report about how your weight is affecting other parts of your body and the longevity of your life and the ability that you're going to have to be able to spend with your children, your grandchildren. That day has to happen. And last week, the goal was to build a mirror so that we could see correctly that we are deficient of the Holy Spirit. That every one of us are guilty of limiting, of resisting the Holy Spirit. We have to realize that. We have to have that day when we look in the mirror and say, something has got to change. Because this is a major part of my life as a Christian that I'm missing out on. And I used the word fat earlier purposefully to be politically incorrect, because we need to realize the gross infraction of what it's like to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit active. We have to realize how ugly that is, how debilitating that is, how wrong that is, that we live our life as a Christian, and yet the Holy Spirit doesn't have activity in our life. He's got presence in our life. Those of you who have been baptized into Christ, you've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. I am 100% sure of that. But to see the Holy Spirit's activity in your life, that's another thing. And that's unmistakable. So we realize we have to change. We have to do something different. We have to get plugged into the power that God has given to the church, that God has given to Christians. And that power is through a person, and that person is the Holy Spirit. And the only way that we plug into that power, you guys remember from last week, is through a what? A what? I hear whispers of it. Some people are timid. Relationship. The only way that we connect to that person is through a relationship. Now, here's the problem. We as humans, we are terrible at healthy relationships. Do you agree? Head shakes? And there's some people that are naturally gifted and they're pretty good. And even though they're pretty good, they're not great by any stretch of the imagination. They're just better than the rest of us. Now, I'm way down here and I'm just awful at it. We're deficient in that area. We're terrible at relationships. Now, this is a problem because the only way to connect to the power that is supposed to exist in the church is through a relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit, who is that power. And we're awful at relationships. That's a problem. So as we look in the mirror and we decide, hey, I want to do something different, I want to change, well, this is a piece of the change that we have to realize. This part, something has to happen here. Something has to happen in our ability to have relationships, to maintain relationships. Romans chapter 7, going into chapter 8, talks about two contenders that we deal with as Christians. We deal with the law of the sinful nature. We deal with the sinful mind. And the sinful mind, we're told, it cannot obey God's laws. It won't do it. It doesn't like them. It's not going to have anything to do with it. Now, Jesus was asked a question. What's the greatest law? What's the greatest commandment? Love. That's the greatest. So if the sinful mind is against that, cannot please God, cannot follow his law, that means the bottom ones, the easier ones, the lesser ones, and definitely the greater ones. However, there's another contender. So we have in this corner, you know, if you have the announcement, you know, in this corner we have this contender, the sinful nature. But then in this corner we have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that which we're talking about this month. And the Spirit, it allows us, it empowers us to fulfill the righteousness of the law. And not just the little ones. The Holy Spirit empowers us to do the greatest commandment, to love. That's good news. That's very, very good news. But in order to do this, the Holy Spirit has to do something with us. We have to allow him to do something with us. And that's that big word that we looked at a few minutes ago. It's a big church word that was in 1 Peter chapter 1. It's sanctification. What is sanctification and what in the world goes on there? What, you know, a lot of us, well, I can't include myself there, but I didn't grow up in church. But a lot of you who have grown up in church, that's a word that you've heard from the very beginning. And you've just kind of, it's been one of those words, and I think church words get put in a certain box where we just kind of, we accept them as church words. We don't really quite understand them, but we know the general gist of what they do. But so we just use them. And we quote scriptures with them. And we really don't know what it does. And so the general definition that's been attached to this is to sanctify something. It means to set it apart or to make it holy. That's a very common definition that a lot of us have heard, a lot of us have seen applied to that. That just doesn't get it for me. I mean, I understand it. We're set apart. We're made holy. I understand that across Scripture, but what is that? I mean, how is that the Holy Spirit working in my life? What I feel a better definition of this is that sanctification means that we are made productive of or conductive of holiness. That speaks a lot to me of what sanctification does. You know, all through this building, all through your houses, there are wires. Wires that carry electric current that provide electricity for lights, electricity for the projector, electricity for the musical instruments. All through your house, that electricity that runs the stove, electricity that runs to your lights, your ceiling fans. That electricity, it travels through a copper wire or other types of wire, but a common one is a copper wire because it's a good conductor of electricity. Now, that wire is shielded. It is protected by an insulation, some sort of rubber or silicone that is it's an insulator. The reason why it's an insulator is to keep the two different copper wires from touching, which could be very bad. And the reason it's an insulator is because it is non-conductive. It doesn't conduct electricity very well at all. Have you guys been with me so far? All right. I'm driving a straight line. It might not seem like it, but I am. So let me retrace where we've walked so you can see the straight line where we're going. The greatest commandment is to do what? Is to love who? And to love who else? To love God, love others. Okay, but we got a problem because we're terrible at loving. We're terrible at relationships. The only way to connect into that power to love is to connect to the Holy Spirit. The only way to do that is through a relationship. So now we've got two problems. We have a problem with a relationship with others. We also have a problem with a relationship with the Holy Spirit. How do we connect to that? Well, there is this thing that the Holy Spirit does to us. It's called sanctification. It makes us conductive of holiness. See, in our sinful state over here, that Romans 7 and 8 are talking about, the sinful nature inside me, the person inside me, it is an insulator or a resistor. It is something that limits, that holds down, that holds back, that does not conduct God's love or God's power in my life. Is this communicating? What the Holy Spirit does through sanctification is it makes me into a copper wire so that then I'm a conductor. Then God's power is allowed to move and flow and work through me, because no longer am I limiting it. No longer am I resisting it. No longer am I putting up things that hold it back or hold it down or keep it from conducting power. Or in today's case, conducting love. And so as we retrace those things, we understand, I hope we understand. And I'm up here because I've been told that when I'm down here too much, you just can't connect with me in my face. I like being down here because this is where I feel comfortable. And especially on this topic, I'm with every one of you guys. And in fact, as a preacher, I feel extra guilty that I limit the Holy Spirit, that I resist him. And through the study of this series and coming into the realization there, I've realized that more and more and more. I don't like that. I don't like it at all. And the more I learn about it, the more I realize, what have I been doing all these years as a Christian? And so, this will be in big letters on the screen. I've come to the realization, I need the power to love. I need it. The Holy Spirit, a relationship with the Holy Spirit, the ability for the Holy Spirit to transform me into something that is conductive instead of something that's non-conductive, is not a bonus. It's not extra. The gift of the Holy Spirit is not sprinkles on top of your cupcake. It is something you need. It is part of the three-course meal that we need as a Christian. And a lot of us recognize we need the Father. We need him. We need his guidance. We need his power. We need his overseeing. We need the Son. We need his sacrifice. We need his blood. We need his grace. Who in the world is the Holy Spirit? And do I really need him? Absolutely you do. Let's say that with me. Say, I need the power to love. Now, let's have some fun with this, okay? We're going to have some fun. Let's emphasize that first white word there, okay? Let's emphasize need, okay? So, I need the power to love. And now, let's emphasize the third word in white there, okay? You ready? I need the power to love. Now, let's hit that middle word. I need the power to love. Do you need it? We need this. We desperately need this. When we were singing that song before I came up, this is the air I breathe. How can we live without it as a Christian? I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for God in my life. We're told in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, that God has poured out his love into our hearts by what? The Holy Spirit. He has poured out his power to love by the Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. And even though we deal with a lot of this stuff and we come across all this stuff, a lot of us are still thinking, I can do this on my own. I'm just fine. I read the Bible. I understand God's instructions. I'm all right. I can do this on my own. You have bought into a pompous lie sold to you by the devil himself. You cannot do this on your own. And yet, you are still trying to do that. And I know that is a fact today. I know that because marriages are in trouble. Marriages are falling apart. Marriages are struggling. Why? Because you're trying to do it all on your own. Folks, you can't. You can't love without the power to love in you and without the power to love free inside you to conduct God's love. We're told in Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Dudes, you can't love your wife like that without being connected to the Holy Spirit. The only way you can be connected to the Holy Spirit is to have a relationship with Him. And the great thing is that He is transforming you, sanctifying you, so that you can better have a relationship with Him, so that you can then have a better relationship with your wife. Women are told to submit in that same area. Women, when you learn the safety of submitting to God, the Holy Spirit, and you learn how good that can be, and you learn how powerful that word can be in your life, then it'll be a whole lot easier to apply it in your marriage. Especially if you know your husband's doing the same thing, and he's going to be loving you with the love of God. I know that you're trying to do this on your own because you've got parent-to-child and child-to-parent relationships that are in shambles. They're just messed up. And relationships, they are a two-way street, but you have to be responsible for your side. And a lot of us, when we get in those areas, we try to control things. We try to take control. We try to manage things. We try to put boundaries on things and understand, okay, here I'm in control. Instead of saying, God, I need more conductivity to the love of your Holy Spirit that you've poured into my heart so that I can better deal with the situation, so that I can better love my child, so I can better love my parent. We've got relationships here in the church. You're not functioning the way you should because you're still trying to do it on your own. You've bought into that pompous lie sold to you by Satan himself that you've got what it takes to love. And just like that carousel in the illustration we looked at last week, you've got all the beautiful parts. You've got all the pieces. In fact, you are made for a relationship. You are made for community. So why are we terrible at the very thing that God says is the greatest thing to do? It's because we have to come to a point where we realize we are in need of an external power source to make us work, to make us do the very thing that we are made to do. And that's a very confusing, frustrating thing for a lot of us because we realize that I need the power to love. I need it in order to love others. Some of you, you're familiar with the fruit of the Spirit. How many of you guys are familiar with the fruit of the Spirit? All right, how many of you guys can tell me what book in the Bible the fruit of the Spirit's in? Galatians, okay. What chapter in Galatians is it? Five, you ding, you got it. Right, now you guys have answered all that. What? I need to start preaching more on this side, don't I? Maybe you guys are the quiet side. What about what verse? You know what verse it's in? Galatians 5. Ha ha, we got one on this side. He's just quiet. That's a verse that we learn about in junior church. We learn about it in VBS. A lot of us learned about it growing up in church. And a lot of times we take one verse and we just look at that one verse. When you're studying the Bible, there's a word that's very important in it. It's the word context. It means you got to look at what's around that verse in order to understand what that verse is talking about. The bed that that verse lays in, you have to understand that. You have to understand the setting, the surroundings around that verse. Paul shared the fruit of the Spirit with the Galatians because they were having terrible, unhealthy relationships with each other. Prior to the fruit of the Spirit, he's talking about them. You guys are devouring each other. You're biting each other. You're hurting each other. Your relationships, they're awful. What you need to do is you need to get rid of the things that are hurting your relationships. You need to connect to the Holy Spirit because the fruit of that Holy Spirit in your life, when you are conducting the Holy Spirit's power of love, you're conducting the fruit of the Spirit. Which sometimes compare that to the list in 1 Corinthians 13. It's kind of fun. I'll let you guys do that on your own time. You got both scriptures there in your notes. I need the power of the Holy Spirit in order to love others. You see the other passages there, they're listed for you. They're very similar passages about how we have the need of that in our life. I need the love of the Holy Spirit so I can love God. We're told in Romans 8 that the Holy Spirit even sanctifies our prayers. He takes our prayers and he transforms them so that they're more conductive, more productive toward God. He intercedes for our prayers. When we are praying and we just don't know exactly what to say, or we say something that's not quite right, he intercedes and he sanctifies that prayer as it goes to God. The Holy Spirit improves our ability to have a relationship with the Father. That's his job. That's a big part of what he does. We're told in Titus 3:5 that the Holy Spirit washes us. It renews us. It makes us new in such a way so that we can have a better relationship with God, so we can spend eternity with God. Back in Romans 8, we're told that the Holy Spirit confirms to our spirit. It talks to our spirit and it says, hey, you're a son of God. You're a child of God. God's Spirit tells my spirit, which God's Spirit's in here, so I don't want to be too confusing. So God's Spirit tells my spirit that I am a child of God and that I can call God Father. God's Spirit inside of me, the Holy Spirit, helps me to see that relationship, helps me to understand it, reminds me that there is a relationship going on. I need it. We're told back in 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter we were at in the love chapter. And Paul talks about some other things, some very spectacular things that were happening in their lives. And he brings up these spectacular things. He says, you know what? These spectacular things, they're nothing without love. All these magnificent things that you're doing, they're nothing without love. You are a carousel of beautiful horses and lights and music, but without love, you're nothing. Without being plugged into the source, you are nothing. Anything outside of love has no value. None. We are a people that like to have value. We like to know that the things that we do are going to help, or are going to be valuable. We like to be productive. And we're told in Scripture time and time again that without love, we're not going to be productive. The only way that we can become conductive of God's love is through a relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's the only way we're going to be able to have healthy relationships with each other. That's the only way we're going to be able to have a healthy relationship with the Father. That's the only way we're going to be able to follow the greatest commandments, to love God and love others.